Now, a new book has revealed for the first time the extraordinary history of horse racing in Chelmsford. It's called Full Circle, The Rise, Fall and Rise of Horse Racing in Chelmsford, and it uncovers a lost world dating back more than 250 years and tells the story of horse racing in Chelmsford from the mid-18th century to its rebirth in the 21st century. And it's written by David Dunford, a former BBC journalist who lives in Gallywood, and he joins me now. So welcome to Felix FM, David.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good afternoon to you. Now, as we just mentioned, you live in Gallywood, so was that what inspired you to write this book?
Well, partly, yes. About 3 years ago, I decided that before my brain seized up completely, I'd go back to university and do an MA in history. So I found a place on there's a good course at Essex University in Colchester, and part of that course involved writing a dissertation on any historical subject I fancied. So, living in Gallywood, and having often wondered just exactly what went on during the races there, I decided that would be a good subject, and it sort of grew from there. And when I finished the dissertation, one of the lecturers suggested that I should try and get it published, which I did. The thesis, it was a bit dry, a bit academic, so I rewrote it, spiced it up a bit, added a couple of chapters on the new Chelmsford City racecourse at Great Lees, and gradually it grew into this book.
Good stuff. Now, in our intro, we inferred that the history of horse racing dates back some 250 years, but I read somewhere that the racecourse at Gallywood possibly dates back as far as the days of King Charles II, which is around about 1660 to 1680. Is that right? And where exactly was the course?
Well, the course was on Gallywood Common. And I suppose the one fact that most people know about racing at Gallywood is the fact it was the only course in the country to encircle a church. If you look, you can still see evidence of what went on. There are some railings, white railings near the Eagle, yeah, and down Stock Road. And I'm just about old enough, only just, to remember the old grandstand. I'm afraid that's long gone, but some of the associated buildings are still standing, and one in particular is now used as the Gallywood Heritage Centre. As I say, most of the course still exists. It ran past the church, down one side of Stock Road, across the other, and back again, about where the new Chelmsford bypass is today, back up the hill on the other side, and the grandstands were at the top of the hill. And as you say, there are local stories that flat racing in Chelmsford goes back to the time of Charles II, but the first written reference I can find dates the races to about 1760. And there's an advert in the Ipswich Journal in 1761 which talks about a horse available at stud in Colchester and which had won a race at Chelmsford in the previous year. So that dates it to about 1760.
So when did they pull the big grandstand down?
Oh, I think it was the early 60s. Late 50s, early 60s.
I used to go past there regularly.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. So what was racing like there in those days?
Well, it was very different to horse racing today. In the late 18th century, well into the 19th century, horses were a lot older than they tend to be today. No horse boxes, of course. So they had to be walked between the courses. and young horses just couldn't take the strain, so they had to use older horses. The races themselves are much longer than they are today. Most flat races were over 3 or 4 miles. And that meant quite often the horses started off at a trot.
Yes.
Then they moved up to a canter. They only really started galloping over the last mile or so. So that meant close finishes were a rarity. And there was also no organised gambling like today. Betting was largely confined to the upper classes.
Yeah, so I mean, I have to say that that doesn't exactly get the blood coursing through my veins. So what was the big attraction? There must have been one.
Yeah, there was. Well, as you say, racing, it doesn't actually sound particularly exciting, does it?
No.
But despite that, we know that thousands of people used to attend. And I think the reason was that the meetings really had something for everyone. For the upper classes who controlled the races, owned the horses, they were a way of flaunting their power and wealth. They were basically demonstrating how superior they were to everyone else. And the upper classes also enjoyed a lot of social events that were held in conjunction with the race meetings. There were balls, dinners, breakfasts, concerts, plays, and they're all held in Chelmsford itself during the race meeting. And these really attracted the cream of Essex society. There's a report of one ball at the turn of the 18th century said to have been attended by Duke, a marquis, three lords, and a number of MPs. And in 1814, there was great excitement when the Duke of Wellington himself turned up at a race meeting.
Wow. Well, that's all well and good for the hoi polloi, but what about the rest of us mere mortals?
Well, because the races were run on common land, there was an entrance charge only for the grandstand. So the working classes got in free.
Right.
And that meant they could have a good, cheap day out. And the race course was like a huge fairground, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there were fortune tellers, circus acts, sideshows, bare-knuckle boxing matches, all sorts of things. And some of these bare-knuckle matches could be significant events in their own right. In 1820, for example, there was a widely reported match between a fighter called David Hudson and another magnificent name. He was called Jack Scroggins.
A lovely name.
Wonderful, very Victorian, very Dickensian. Yeah. And Scroggins, he'd taken part in matches that had gone on over 50 rounds.
Oh, my goodness,
for 2 hours.
Me.
But I'm afraid he was past his best when he fought at Galliard. He only lasted 11 rounds.
Yes.
And perhaps that's not surprising. One newspaper report describes his training method as one of being based on debauchery. And he was known to drink brandy between rounds to revive himself.
Well, so it's probably that seems reasonable.
Not surprising he lost.
Yeah.
Also, up until the early 19th century, cockfighting was important, and all this attracted a fairly hefty criminal element to the races as well.
You could bet on these things, I imagine.
You could, yes.
Yes.
There were lots of as well as. Crooks involved in betting. There were lots of pickpockets, for example. There was one amusing story, well, amusing for us, not for the victim.
Yes.
In 1831, an army captain was getting ready to take part in a race, and in his haste, he handed his coat to someone he thought was his servant.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it wasn't his servant. And the man took off with the coat and the £400 in the pocket.
Ooh, 400 quid? Well, that must have been a heck of a lot of money
this
in
was
those days.
Yeah, in 1831, yeah. That's equivalent to having £30,000 stolen today. And I should think that probably put him off racing for life.
I think it would do, yeah. Now, although you've touched on the fact that the racing there sort of really took off in the 1800s, I read somewhere that back in the 1760s, there had been some major events, some of which had lasted for 3 days, with some quite spectacular prizes offered by the king. But this... Was this the heyday? Presumably not.
Later. Yeah, I think the heyday really did come later. It's generally thought to be in around the 1860s.
Yes.
There was a chap called Admiral Henry Rouse who was put in charge of racing at Galliard. He was a senior steward of the Jockey Club based in Newmarket, and he did a lot to professionalise racing not only in Chelmsford but throughout the country. One of the major things he did was to increase the power of the stewards, example, which meant that jockeys had to behave themselves. Up until then, the jockeys were very difficult to control, and races could be pretty chaotic. Some races, for example, could take an hour just to start while the jockeys messed about trying to get in a favourable position. And this was before starting gates.
Oh, yes,
remember?
Yes,
so
yes.
They're all in a line, all jockeying for position.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the stewards had the power to fine jockeys who misbehaved, things got a lot less chaotic and a lot more professional. And I say, during the 1860s, when Admiral Rouse was in charge, this was the period when it really did come much more professional.
So when and why did the racing come to an end?
Well, there's not really an easy answer to why racing ended at Galliard. There were a lot of factors, basically. First, the coming of the railway came to Chelmsford in 1842. And that meant spectators could come from a wide area. So the races were much less of a purely local social occasion.
But you'd have thought that they would have brought in more crowds.
It did bring in crowds, but they came really for the racing rather than the social events.
Oh, I see.
So, as I say, and this reduced the general attraction of the racing, I think. At the end of the 19th century, a lot of other sports and leisure activities grew up. All the big factories in Chelmsford, for example, had their own sports and social clubs, so that was a competition to the racing. And even before that, new race courses like Sandown Park were growing up around London. And they charged a general admission, unlike Chelmsford, which being on as I said, on common land, could only charge for the grandstand. And all this meant that the races at Cheltenham were losing money.
Mm.
The final straw seems to have come around 1880, when the Jockey Club introduced a rule that flat race meetings should have a minimum prize fund of £300 a day. Well, that's equivalent to about £26,000 in today's money, a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people who ran racing at Gallywood just couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So they converted the course to steeplechasing, which was run under different rules, didn't have the minimum amount of prize money. Racing stopped at Gallywood during the First World War, but when it opened up again afterwards, actually it did quite well for a while.
Mm.
Special trains were run from London, and there were some top-class horses that ran at Gallywood. One of these, for example, was Golden Miller, who in 1934 was the only horse, still the only horse, to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup and the Grand National in the same year. But despite that, the races were still losing money, and they finally closed in 1935.
But the title of your book suggests that this isn't the end of the story, so tell me more.
No, in 2008, a new all-weather racecourse opened at Great Lees, but the recession meant that it didn't succeed. It failed and closed, but it was then taken over by another company, part of the Betfred bookmaking chain.
Mm.
It was renamed Chelmsford City Racecourse. Racing restarted 2 years ago, and largely thanks to satellite television, racing at Cheltenham now has a bigger audience than at any time in its history.
Really? But you don't hear of it against Sandown and Ascot and all these places, do you?
You hear about it if you're interested in racing.
Oh, yeah, yes, but you never
you
see
the racing price. It has been on Channel 4, actually, a couple
has
of
it?
Times. Yeah, and they're hoping to get a few more slots on Channel 4, so we may be seeing a bit more about it. It is attracting top-class horses
really?
And jockeys. Frankie Dettori's been there a couple of times.
Yes.
Ryan Moore, who's one of the top jockeys at the moment. So it is attracting some quite...
And it's pulling the crowds as well.
Pulling in the names. But I think it's mainly its audience is on satellite television at the moment.
Right. So it's got a little way before it can really make a profit or...
I think it's making a profit,
well,
yeah. They've submitted plans to build a new grandstand.
Yeah.
And they're going to build a 24-hour casino there. So if you don't want to lose money on horses, you can go and lose it on roulette.
All right, so anyway, after this foray into the literary world, are you going to be planning any more titles in the near future?
Well, while I was researching this book and looking at the upper classes in Essex, who, as I said, controlled racing at Gallywood in the 1800s, it became apparent to me there were some extraordinary people who are largely forgotten today.
Yeah.
And they deserve to be remembered. I'm thinking of writing a book on them. One example, well, a couple of examples. There was a chap called Sir Claude de Crespigny.
That's a great name.
It is, another fine old, yeah. Well, it's a Norman name, actually.
Right.
He really was an amazing character. He lived at Great Totham near Malden.
Yep.
He was a jockey, steward, and a judge at the Gallywood races in the late 19th century. He rode his last steeplechase. You know how dangerous steeplechasing is.
Rode
his last race at the age of 67.
Stop that.
But that was only part of his life. In 1883, he became the first person to cross the North Sea by balloon. And it gets better because he filled his balloon up in a field next to Malden Gasworks with a pipe running the gas directly from the gasworks onto his balloon. He was also a big game hunter.
Yes.
First European to swim the great cataract rapids of the Nile.
Yes.
And he created a huge controversy at one point by getting a job as an assistant hangman. And he hung three murderers at Carlisle in the late 1800s. So he's one.
That's a very colourful character.
Yeah. He's almost worth a book in his own right.
Yeah.
There was also a woman called Daisy Greville, Countess of Warwick, and she was born at Easton Lodge near Great Dunmo. She married the Earl of Warwick, who was also a steward at Chelmsford Races at the end of the 19th century. She became the mistress of the Prince of Wales, later Edward VII. And when he died, she tried to blackmail the royal family over some spicy letters that he'd apparently written her. lots of other notable Essex gentry in the 19th century we've largely forgotten today. Sir Evelyn Wood, there's a pub in Chelmsford named after him.
Yeah.
He was another distinguished soldier, won the VC in the Indian Mutiny. There are loads of them. So I think I might write a book on those.
Oh,
on
I think I look forward to seeing this book come out. You've no idea how long that'll take you to do.
quite a while at this. Yes.
Well, when you do, you've got to come back here in here and tell us all about it.
I will.
But in the meantime, remind us of the title of your current book, the price and where you can get it.
It's called Full Circle, The Rise, Fall and Rise of Horse Racing in Chelmsford. It's $12.99, available from bookshops or online.
Great stuff. Thank you very much indeed.